It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Conditions, but the match doesn't leave anyone blown away. A useful point, I guess, on the road instead. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here from the Valley on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me in the studio here in SU7 as we get ready to look back at yesterday's fairly dour and goalless draw with Bristol Rovers is Mr. Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lewis?
Yes, not too bad, mate. How
yeah,
are you?
Did you? Yeah, have you dried off yet after the...
Just about, yeah, yeah. I think just about.
Torrential downpour in Bristol just after the game finished yesterday, and anyone... He was stuck waiting 40 minutes for a bus like I was to get back to the station. Was absolutely soaked by the time he got home. Not a great game. Horrible conditions to be played in as well. But we will look back at the match. We're going to have a listen to the match highlights. We're going to hear from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowler, of course. We're also going to hear from the stopper, Dylan Phillips, who made one hell of a superb save from a free kick from Johnson Clark Harris as well. So not all bad news yesterday. Don't forget, you can have your say on yesterday's performance. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say about the game yesterday. Let us know anything you want to say. Was that save from Dylan Phillips the best save you've ever seen? Was it up there, the best save of the season? Let us know. Results wise, and we're still 8 points behind Barnsley. I did get slightly carried away on Friday night when Barnsley dropped points. I thought, well, if we can win on Saturday, then we'd only be 6 points behind them, and who knows? But maybe I was thinking a little bit pie in the sky, yeah, although Dylan Phillips is certainly not ruling anything out yet. Also interested to know if you have a preference as to who we would play in the playoffs. If we do end up in the playoffs, let us know. So email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say on there. Just before we hear the highlights of the game, Lewis... not one that is going to live long in the memory, I think it's probably fair to say. Although, we have been robbed a little bit because Josh Cullen scored a goal that was offside just before half time, and looking back at it, it looks like it should have been onside.
Yeah, I mean, from being at the game, I don't know anyone that's been to the Memorial Stadium and was there yesterday will know that the view is very poor, especially at that end of the ground. So, I've just seen the image you've tweeted out, and yeah, it's definitely onside. Their left back Kelly seems to be playing him on, so we'll feel hard done by there, definitely.
But I mean, overall, I mean, given the conditions and the position we find ourselves within the table, pretty comfortable in those playoff places. If we're being totally honest, still 11 points above Coventry now, who are the next the team in seventh now. It's not the end of the world, really, is it? It's just one that you just put down as an average day at the office, and then everyone just goes home.
Yeah, exactly. And I think off the back of Tuesday night as well, probably a little bit leggy. And the conditions yesterday were atrocious, weren't they? The wind completely killed the game. I hate to sound like Jurgen Klopp by blaming the weather conditions, but it was pretty atrocious yesterday. It seemed like any kick was going out for a throw-in or coming straight back at you. But, you know, the international break now has probably come at the right time. I think we did look a little bit leggy, especially towards the latter stage of the game yesterday. But you take, you know, a point away from home is not too bad. Bristol Rovers have been in a bit of an upturn of form lately as well after a poor start. So you won't be looked at as too bad of a point.
Yeah, certainly. Right, just a quick note before we hear the highlights. Tonight's show, Cheltenham Live, is just only going to be an hour long. Now, this is something I've been thinking about doing for a while with the Sunday show, because an hour and a half is very long for a podcast. So I'm just giving it a test run tonight just to see if we can squeeze everything in so we're not waffling for too long. But yeah, we'll see. If it doesn't work, we won't revert to it, but we'll see how we got on. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights from yesterday's game. Terry Smith and Greg Stubley were down at the Memorial Ground for us.
Ball goes down the line. Billick with a header trying to find Prattley, and Gogo steps in and wins it back. Finds Sercombe. Sercombe blocked shot by Pearce, and it was an important block as well. Taylor up against Clark. Cuts back inside. That's a good swinging ball. Reeves is there, and so is Vetter Cayley. Neither could get a substantial touch on it. And Bristol are able to bring it out from the far side of the penalty area with Kelly. And with it. It's a deep one on this occasion. Bowers at the far side. Bowers gets head across. Oh, Taylor hits it with one foot, and it hits his other before it can go into the goal. And Bristol managed to clear it away.
Great chance.
Oh, still have it with Reeves down that left-hand side. Quite how he's worked a space there. He's flicking left and right, and his ball's ricocheted to Purrington. Inside of Vetter Cayley. Rides one tackle to the right, and Cullen takes the shot. Cullen, and it's caught the outside of his boot and over. And the wind possibly as well, and out for a goal. But it'll drop to Cullen. Cullen finds Vetter Cayley. Back inside to Cullen. He's got Reeves to his right. Reeves got Taylor further on and into the penalty area. Across his Vetter Cayley. Will he get there? Oh, just cut out at the last minute by Lockyer before Vetter Cayley could pounce. Lovely attacking, counter-attacking move from Charlton, which has resulted in a corner, but it could have been much better.
Wow. See it up here. Bringing the ball forward to Reeves. Reverse ball finds Cullen. Further right to Dickstill. Dickstill. Ball into the box. It's a good-looking ball. Taylor gets something good. It comes to Perrington. Perrington controls. Shoots across and cleared away by Lockyer. Close to the line. It was a goal-bound effort from Perrington. Clark Harris is about to take this free kick for Bristol Rovers. Steps over it left-footed. And it's a great save. Dylan Phillips. Somehow the free kick went through the wall, I think. And Dylan Phillips, diving down to his left, keeps it out. An absolutely fantastic save. Whether the free kick went around the wall, I don't know, but it just was shot powerfully by Clark Harris.
Even the referee's gone up to say well done.
Even Clark Harris has gone over and applauded Dylan Phillips for that. That is one of the best saves you'll see this season.
Watch this again on Quest, because that was quite exceptional, that save. Or on the Charlton highlights.
Clark Harris trying to chest it back, and Dickstill does well to read it. He just clears away. Ball down the line looking towards Vetter Kelly. It's awkward one for Craig. There's not great clearance, and Cullen picks it up. Cullen, great footwork to take the ball past Kelly. Ball towards Vetter Kelly. It's a good one. Good control. Vetter Kelly shot. Saved by Bonham. Diving down to his right.
Was a good save. It's a lovely move. And Cullen did superbly well to just control that, go past his man. Great ball in to Vetter Kelly. Good control. Instant shot down to the keeper's right. And he was almost going in the wrong direction, Bonham, at that point.
But Charlton with a free kick in a dangerous position, probably just out in shooting range, but only a one-man wall on this left-hand side. But Josh Cullen can certainly chip this in, and the weather, how it's been like, it's going to be awkward. Cullen to take, he's chipped it in. No, it's come off a flick, come off a head, should I say, flick from, I think that was James Clark at the near post. There's an important touch as well, as it was goal-bound effort from Cullen. It was almost a cross-come shot in the end. Reeves swings it in towards the 6-yard box. It's an awkward one. It's missed everybody and just come away to the far post. I think it might have touched a Bristol Rovers player.
It'll be collected by Kelly away to the on the Charlton right-hand side, halfway inside the Charlton half. Looks to swing this back in towards the box. Bowers there, gets something on it, up to Billick. Billick turns, tries to drill the ball forward, but it's blocked away by Upson. Then it's a snapshot by Clark, just wide right of the post, and that's the closest Bristol have come.
Still doesn't look like he's shaping to do that, and throws it into Joe Rebo. Good control touch from Joe Rebo into the corner of the penalty area. Still Joe Rebo turns the other way, onto his right foot, back to his left. Ball across, Taylor. Oh, cleared away.
What a challenge. Lock here again
in the way, and this time from Lyle Taylor. And the referee does blow the whistle, and it is all over here at the Memorial Stadium. Honours even.
So there we go, the highlights of yesterday's game, courtesy of Valley Pass. Unfortunately, it cut out just before the offside goal, so probably the most exciting part of the game for us didn't make the cut because the Wi-Fi got blown away, as well as the rest of the game. But yeah, overall, a point, probably a fair result. Charlton, I felt like Charlton edged possession, but when I look back at it, it was actually a 52-48 jobby in Bristol Rovers' favour. But I felt like Charlton had more of the controlled, you know, possession within the other team's half. Yeah, looked more likely on the whole to have nicked it if anyone would have.
Yeah, definitely, I agree with you there. I thought we didn't do too badly in the conditions, and I think especially first half, I thought we were quite good, but second half maybe tailed off. Bristol were probably the better side in that second period. So yeah, a draw probably a fair result.
And it's, I mean, the weather. I mean, you can't talk about that game yesterday without mentioning. I mean, it was clear during the warm up. I was watching the subkeeper Chris Maxwell floating over crosses to Dylan, and you were seeing him floating him up in towards like the edge of the 6 yard box, and then blowing away towards the edge of the area. It was crazy the way that wind was affecting the ball, and that affects the way you have to play. If there were times you wanted to try and pump it long, you really couldn't be sure that was going to work with any accuracy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think even the second kick of the game by Bristol, I think they went for a crossfield pass and went straight out for a throw. I think from that moment on, I think we knew what sort of game it was going to be. I think it was just treacherous, wasn't it? I think we picked the worst weekend to go and watch football in a ground that hasn't got a roof in an open terrace. It was pretty savage. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's a tough place to go, really, the Mem. I think even last season, I think it was a bit of a tough ask to get. We got a point there last season as well.
Funny enough, Rovers actually have the worst home record in the division. They've only won at home four times this season, but they have shown that improvement over the last few weeks. Won three in a row before Saturday, including their last home league game, which was a 4-0 win over Blackpool, I believe. So, you know, good teams have gone there recently and struggled. Sunderland have been there twice recently in the league and in the Checker trade. Won both 2-0, but apparently, in particular, the Checker trade game, they're lucky to get away with that. So, it has become a more difficult place. And in Johnson, Clark, Harris, they've got a striker who's banging form. So, we knew we were going to have our hands sort of full before we got there.
Yeah, and he's yeah, he's an example of probably where their improvements come. They've done some good business in January after they got rid of Daryl Clark, didn't they, just before Christmas? And some of the people they've brought in impressed me. I know they've got a couple of Shrewsbury players from last season, haven't they? They've got Alex Rodman, and they've got that Agogo, I think they've just signed from Coventry as well. All players that impressed me last season for Shrewsbury. And yeah, on paper, they've got a good side. I was a bit gutted Tariq Holmes-Dennis didn't get on yesterday. I think he probably would have been bound to score if he came on, knowing our luck. But yeah, on paper, a side that it's sort of hard to see why they're down there, but it seems to be one of those seasons at the bottom of the league this year where it's really some big clubs down there, some clubs I wouldn't expect to see down there. So I think they've probably got a little bit of breathing space now in terms of staying in the division. But aside, yeah, they impressed me, to be honest, but conditions overall for both sides, very, very difficult.
Probably the moment of the match, and from a Charlton point of view, then, apart from the offside goal, was, of course, that save from Dylan Phillips. Clark Harris, it was, he won the free kick. It was a bit of a soft one. I think Prattley gave it away, but I think it was Clark Harris who went down a bit easily, if we're being honest, 25 yards or so from goal. The free kick seems to somehow sort of squirm through the wall, and the second it's left his foot, it looks like he's going to be nestling in that bottom corner, and Phillips, for all the world, looks like he's going to be beaten all ends up. But he's got down there and just clawed it away, and yeah, a spectacular save.
Oh, it was a brilliant save, and it looked like he even got it from behind him as well. It's like the ball was actually behind him by the time he managed to get a hand to it. It was very impressive save, and like we say, Dylan, you know, he's really making a statement for himself now, especially in that starting position since Jed's gone back to Villa, and he's kept Chris Maxwell out of the side, who's a championship experienced goalkeeper, and he deserves his place. And I'm over the moon for Dylan, really, because he has come in and his head could have dropped. I know you spoke to him after the Walsall game New Year's Day, and he was very defeated, wasn't he? Very, very different Dylan Phillips to the Dylan Phillips we're seeing now in terms of how he felt and his contract situation. He's signed up now, probably feeling a little bit more secure, and he's performing, you know, week in, week out. He's making match-winning saves, if you like. And especially yesterday, that's probably one of the best saves I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, it's amazing how he has changed since, like I say, since that game against Walsall when he came out. And, you know, I'll be totally honest, at that time, I genuinely didn't think he would want to sign a new contract because he wasn't getting the game time that he needed. He wasn't being allowed to go out on loan because over the last couple of years, another indirect, probably victim of the Du Châtelet regime, because we've never worked quickly enough to get our goalkeepers in, which meant he hasn't been able to go out and get that one season in League Two, perhaps, that he needed. So he's had to wait his turn, and like I say, so glad that he's grasped it with both hands at the start of this, you know, since the turn of the year, and a brilliant save, and yeah, kept us in it, and an important time of the game as well. As you go down just before half time, that could have been very difficult.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that was sort of as the possession was swinging in Bristol's favour just before the break. I mean, we had the goal, the offside goal, just after that, but in terms of the actual play, he was looking for that break in the game, and it's something like that you need to break a deadlock, especially in those conditions. And it did look completely goal bound, especially from where we were standing, like dead in line with that goal, where he saved it from behind him. I was convinced that was an Enesel in the bottom corner. So a fantastic save to pull off and a very important time.
So as we say, the other major talking point in that first half from a Charlton point of view was right on the stroke of half-time. We had a couple of other half chances, which we'll come to in a bit. But it was good work from Lyle Taylor on the left-hand side of the area. Got it into Purrington. Now, Purrington's hit it across the face of goal. Cullen's just there, unmarked, 6 yards out, and he touches it home. The flag's gone up almost immediately. But, you know, as I've said, from that screenshot, watching it back on Valley Pass, and I tweeted out the screenshot, I mean, to me, the defender's foot is clearly on the 6-yard line. Cullen's foot seems to be behind it. So the only thing is you can't quite see Cullen's right foot, the one he scores with. But judging by his stance, I don't think it could have been much further forward. So for me, and Lee Bowyer certainly said after he felt he was hard done by there, that it should have been a goal. We should be 1-0 victors.
Yeah, definitely. I hadn't seen it until I saw your screenshot earlier. And from that picture, the left back, Kelly, he's playing him on. And yeah, it's unfortunate. I didn't think the officials yesterday were that great, to be honest. I've never seen more drop balls in a game of football in my entire life. But yeah, hard done by. They're the decisions that we seem to go against us a lot. And we've got to brush it off and let it go.
Yeah, really. Yeah. The drop ball situations were weird. Just I think we saw two where there was one particularly in the first half where a drop ball was basically a player in front of the stand we were in went down really easily, ended up lying on top of the ball. The referee was thinking, well, it's not a free kick, ended up giving it for obstruction, so he had to give the drop ball, and then we took the drop ball, Clark Harris picks it up and then dived, and then he gave the free kick anyway. It was just bizarre. And then he did similar over in the far side in that second half. I mean, the team news was, of course, interesting. 5 changes before the game. Obviously, we'd had that grueling week where we'd beaten Portsmouth and Burton Albion both here at the Valley, and tiredness certainly seemed to come into play in that second half on Tuesday evening. So not surprised to see a lot of changes to try and freshen it up. Perhaps a bit surprised that Jason Pearce for Naby Sarr was one of them. Nothing personal, but you're saying, of course, it wouldn't be, because he said himself that Naby's played so well this season. Pearce, he hasn't come straight back in. He's been on the bench for a couple of games purely because of that, because Naby's been in such good form. But even there, I guess eyebrows are always going to be raised the second poor Nabs gets taken out of the team, because he has played so well recently.
Yeah, definitely. It was something I was very surprised, and I spoke to you before the game about I was quite surprised with Naby Sarr being out of the side, mainly because I had him on as first goal scorer, so that was heartbreaking. But but yeah, I mean, it's nice to see Jason Pearce back. Obviously, he's a leader, he's a captain, and I thought he had a good game yesterday. Bearing in mind, he's not really had a huge amount of league action since he's been injured. So it was nice to see him back in the side, but obviously it was quite harsh on Naby Sarr. But I think I'd look at it more of that he's probably just resting him, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I didn't think he was out on his feet Tuesday, but he has played a lot of football recently, more than he's probably ever played in a Charlton shirt, especially consistently. So whether he's, you know, Bowie's just giving him a little rest. You don't want to. We're in that, like you say, we're in that stage now where the playoffs are looking pretty comfortable and you don't want to pick up, you know, unnecessary injuries. If we go into the playoff games and we're missing the likes of Naby Sarr through injury, where and we've played them at Bristol Rovers, and we could have switched it up a little bit to prevent them happening. He'll be looking back at that and regretting it. So
yeah,
I can see the thinking behind it.
We're in this weird purgatory now, aren't we? Where, I mean, I am still going to say that there's probably no chance of the top two, other than an outside chance. Which, you know, if we win all of our games from now until the end of the season, we're probably getting the top two just about. But even then, it might not be enough. So we are in this situation now where I wouldn't be shocked if, especially as we get into the last four or five games of the season, if Bowyer was to do this a little bit more, just to keep the squad fresh. But at the same time, obviously, he can't be losing momentum, so he's going to have to sort of tread a fine line here to find the right balance.
Yeah, and it gives opportunities to those players who probably think that they can be a big part of the tail end of the season. You know, even the likes of, you know, Jolly Williams is injured at the moment. Whether Tariq comes in and he refines his form over the next, you know, that tail leg part of the season. If he finds his form again and goes into the playoffs red hot form like he was last season, that could be really important. Or it's opportunity for all those players. Jason Pearce, been out for a long time. He's a leader. He could be really important in those playoff games. So I think, yeah, that Bayer will look at it and think it's an opportunity for players to get some minutes as well. We're in a very comfortable position. Something like Touchwood, I can't see us throwing away. I agree with you that the top two is a massive outside chance. And I just think all we can do is try and win every single game in front of us and see what happens and take some decent form into those playoff games.
Because I was also looking at Barnsley's running earlier on today. And people are saying we've got a fairly bottom half of the league running. I mean, they've got a very similar one, if we're being totally honest. And they're a team that hasn't lost in, was it 18 games now, I think?
Yeah,
even if
like
they
that.
Have dropped points in the last two. So they've drawn their last two before the weekend. Whereas we won sort of 4 points in that time. So, you know, we gained 2 points on them, but I mean, we're going to have to do that pretty much every week for the rest of the season to have any hope.
Exactly. And I think we can't really give a lack of respect to any of those sides in the bottom half, because they're, you know, it's tight down there. They're all fighting for their lives. And you know, Wimbledon now have managed to claw back that gap. They're only 3 points from safety. And you've got the likes of Bradford down there that we play in a fortnight's time, and Rochdale we play last game of the season, that are fighting for their lives. And they're all teams that they're fighting for something also, obviously at the wrong end of the table. But they're going to be fired up, and they're going to want to win as much as we are. And Barnsley, the way they edge it, I think they've been extremely clinical all season, and I think we've been quite guilty of maybe not being as clinical and not taking our chances. You see Barnsley kill teams off 3-0, and we create chances to win a 3-0 when we go and win it 2-1 or 1-0. I just think that they're that little bit better at killing teams off.
It's similar to how it was last season when we got into the playoffs. Now, we are the lowest scorers in the top six by 6 goals to Doncaster, and everyone else has 9 or 10 more than us, apart from Luton, have got a hell of a lot, nearly 20 more than us. So, I mean, Again, it's weird, isn't it? So we haven't really gone through this season feeling like, oh, we're not scoring goals, because obviously we've had Taylor and Grant in that time scoring goals on the regular. But when you actually look, I mean, we haven't done a team for four yet. We've barely scored three that often this season. And it does sort of add up, and it does just sort of suggest, you know, that's where we might be slightly off it compared to some of the two teams at the top of the league in particular. We're not as clinical as we could have been. And that was the same problem last year. But I guess it doesn't feel as bad as it did last year, because at least we know we've still got one striker who will score a hatful of goals.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got such a creative midfield, like an incredibly creative midfield. And last season, you know, Fosu was our main man, our creative outlet, if you like. And he wasn't 100% fit going into those playoff games last season, and that definitely hindered us a little bit. And I'm hoping that this year we've not just got the players available, but also got the experience of last year's disappointment, which will make us stronger. And you look at the other teams in that three. I mean, Sunderland are still within a shout of getting second, but say Sunderland finish in that top in the playoff places, then, you know, they've got to bring on something that they probably haven't experienced for a long time in terms of playoffs. And Portsmouth missed out just last year, and then Doncaster weren't anywhere near last year. And we were in there. We faced a strong Shrewsbury side that were probably disappointed they didn't get in the top two. So I like to think that we've got experience heading into it, and maybe that gives us the upper hand against these sides.
So with the formation change yesterday, going to three at the back, obviously it's something we have played periodically throughout the season, but you're in a way sort of trying to play the elements and to give an element of surprise to Bristol Rovers, who in the end actually switched up their formation after the first sort of 20 minutes, half an hour or so. Did you like that change? It's good in a way, but that you get to see Billick, Pearce and Bauer all in the same team as well.
Yeah, and I was impressed with them as well. I thought. Especially Christian Bielik, I thought they had a great game yesterday. I'm glad he was fit as well. And And also Anthony Dick still coming in on that right-hand side. I was really, really impressed with his performance yesterday. I thought he was a good attacking outlet. He got forward. He defended well when needed to. And I felt like everything that we had yesterday was coming from that side. I mean, Perrington put the ball in for Cullen for that goal. But apart from that, I was a little bit maybe disappointed with Perrington yesterday. I didn't think he had the best game. But in terms of a formation change, I was impressed with it yesterday. And like, it is nice to see the three centre-backs at the same time.
Yeah, and the other sort of major headline of that starting 11 for me was the fact that Igor came back in for Josh Parker. Obviously, they've been sort of chopping and changing over the last few weeks, and Parker started against Burton, Igor having started against Pompey. Switched it back around yesterday. I mean, is it a little bit of a muchness with that one? I think, if anything, I'm probably leaning towards Igor at the moment. I think his movement is slightly better than Josh Parker. I think he gives the other side's defence a little bit more to think about. I mean, maybe we're being harsh on Parker in that we still haven't really seen a good run from him yesterday at all, really, I should say. And he's had that illness as well, which he's probably still taking a couple of weeks to get back from. But at the same time, he was Gillingham's third choice striker when we signed him. So are we expecting too much?
I think obviously we're looking at him as the person that we've brought in to replace Carlin Grant, and obviously they're leagues apart, and that's an issue. There's a lot of pressure, but I think Lee Bowie has mentioned it many a time, I'm in the same ballpark there, that I'm waiting for one of them to really take their chance and sort of grasp that starting berth with both hands and give it a real go. And I'm with you that I'm leaning towards Igor. I thought yesterday he wasn't too bad. He had a good chance in the first half, bit of a snapshot which the keeper saves, but that was sort of the glimpses of the movement that he's got and some of the space he can create. And they're just the things that I don't see from Josh Parker. Like in the games where Eagles started, I feel like he's been a part of something. He's had a chance himself, or he's managed to create something or start a move. Where with Parker, I haven't really seen anything. I thought he did all right when he came on in one of his first games. I can't exactly remember who it was, and he came on as a sub, and I thought he played okay. And Igor didn't have a great game, but since then, I think Igor has been the better of the two.
I mean, he still obviously doesn't get anywhere near enough goals as what we need. Igor, he had a couple of chances yesterday, or one in particular, which he drew a save from Jack Bonham towards the end of that first half. But we sort of say that, you always say it with a striker, hopefully once he gets one, that will sort of spur him on. But he got that one against Wimbledon, sort of, and and he hasn't scored again since then. So yeah, it's a tough one, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it's a real shame, because when he came in, obviously we were so impressed, and it was a long time ago, and back in the Championship as well, and he was just on fire, and he got that injury, and then since then it just sort of derailed him a little bit. His confidence was shot to pieces, and I think it still is. I don't think he probably will ever be the same player that we saw when he first came in. I think that's asking a little bit too much. But I still think that he's got just enough quality to do something, you know, in that side. I think he can bring something, and at the moment I believe he can bring a bit more than Parker can.
So as we were saying, we did have a few chances throughout the game, mainly in the first half, although right at the very last kick of the game, actually, well, one of them, Lyle Taylor had a shot on goal that was well blocked after a good little run in from Joe Rebo, who came on for the last 20-25 minutes or so. I mean, there was one early on where Bauer won a header from a corner and knocked it down to Taylor, and it just came to him at sort of an awkward height and angle, and he tried to adjust his feet, and he managed to just about volley it towards the goal, but then it hit his standing foot as he was sort of standing sideways onto it. And yeah, other than the offside goal, I think our biggest chance of the half came from, again, Dixtel, who you mentioned, who I thought played well as well yesterday. Floated over a cross over to that far post, presumably measured, although it could well be wind assisted. But it came down to Perrington, and he got his shot away, and it's just cleared off the line. And you know, it's very rarely you see your left back in a goal scoring position unless it's Toby Stevenson. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's shot away, but yeah, probably the closest we come, really, other than the offside goal.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was just a bit of a difficult game in terms of chances and everything yesterday. And Perrington, as mentioned, I think he didn't have the best game yesterday, but it's nice to see him push forward, and he does have moments where he can push through and really create chances. I think he's got quite a good left foot on him as well in terms of crossing, and I think he's come close a few times with scoring a goal, but It's been said many a time, like Wally Downs when he was at Wimbledon said you get like a 7 out of 10 from him every single week, and that's probably pretty consistent so far. I think yesterday's probably the worst display from him I've seen, and it wasn't awful.
Yeah, and don't forget he was playing at left wing back, whereas, when we signed him, we were told he doesn't really get forward that much, but we played him as a wing back rather than a left back. So who's to say? So overall, a decent point on the road. Former Millwall player Tony Craig was in the defence for Bristol Rovers, which is, as soon as I saw him, I just had flashbacks of, oh, wasn't it funny when John Marquis scored an own goal, another former Millwall player a couple of weeks ago? So in my mind, I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be funny if he scored and then we'd have two former Millwall players? So I thought I'd tell everyone about that. After the game, after we'd interviewed Bowyer and we were just waiting for Dylan Phillips to come out and speak to us, we were sat sort of near the tunnel area, and I was just telling the likes of the club media staff, Ollie and George and Terry and Greg from the commentary team, I was just saying, wouldn't it be funny if Tony Craig had scored an own goal, ex-Millwall and all this? At which point, Tony Craig's two children walked past, apparently, because the man who was looking after him said, these are Tony Craig's kids, by the way, so I'll be careful what you're saying.
Oh,
so
no.
I nearly mugged myself off in front of an ex-Millwall man's kids. Millwall mugged themselves off enough this afternoon,
exactly,
really, didn't they?
Exactly.
So there you go. Right, don't forget, you can still have your say on this evening's Charlton Live. A few of you started tweeting in now, so we'll come to those in a minute. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum and have your say on tonight's show about yesterday's performance. Anything really you want to talk about Charlton related, you can do so. Let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's game. Of course, there's one question about Lyle Taylor which I'm going to have to explain after, because I was hoping Bowyer was going to say something about something I found out, but he didn't really. But I'll tell you a story. It's quite an interesting story I heard during the week, so I'll tell you that in a minute. But this is what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's game. Obviously disappointed not to come away with all 3 points, but I think pleased to get away from a game in difficult conditions with the 1 point.
Yeah, obviously we go into every game and wanting to win, and we're leaving disappointed because we haven't won, you know. But conditions were so difficult, and this is quite an open ground, and the wind was just unbelievable. So I'd say, yeah, probably on another day I think we could have won it, but yeah, come away, it's a good point really. They've been doing well recently. They'd won 3 on the spin I think before we played them, so yeah, it's not a bad point.
And they've had your chances, as you said, offside goals at both ends as well. Have you had a look back at those?
Our one was onside. I've not looked at their one. There's no point. But yeah, ours was onside. Said to the ref, to the fourth official at half time, walking off, like, he's onside. But again, it's a big decision that's not gone our way.
Obviously, you had those difficult games you've had in the week, and you made the 5 changes today. Was that just a case of trying to freshen up that squad?
Freshen it up. And try and prevent what did happen today. I knew it was going to be horrible conditions and a tough physical game, so I freshened it up the best I could. And to be fair, we kept a side that's been doing well quiet today. And so everyone that came in, they'd done their jobs. And but yeah, we're all a little bit flat now, because obviously we wanted the 3 points.
And brilliant to see Jason Pearce back in for the first time since December. Obviously comes in for Naby, so that's been a difficult decision with the way Naby's been playing as well recently.
Yeah, it was nothing against any of them. All the players that came out, it was nothing against them. It was just purely best for the team. It was tough. Saturday, Tuesday, they was both tired. A lot of them was tired on Tuesday. You could tell that just from watching the game. So, and then to ask them to go and do it again today would have been maybe too much of a gamble. So, so yeah, it wasn't just Naby, like all the lads, they've all been doing great. And so, yeah.
Nice to see Lyle Taylor save his yellow card for today rather than any of the last 5 games. I know it was a close-run thing this week about something that could have happened behind the scenes as well.
Yeah. Thankfully, he done it at the right time. So, but it's, I don't know how many the next ones are, but I don't think it's possible for him to reach that. So, yeah, he's just one of the players that plays on the edge all the time, isn't he?
And of course you've got your 2 week break now for the international break, and with perhaps the tired legs in this squad, it couldn't come at a better time.
No, this would be good. I just said to him, look, go and enjoy your break. You've earned it. And when we come back in at the end of the week next week, then we'll get ourselves going and ready for Bradford.
Momentum has been with Charlton. They've really played well this.
Oh, it's a quickly taken corner into Williams in the penalty area. Chip ball back across. Headed clear. Only as far as Saw gets something on it. So does Vedekele. Oh, cleared away. Abby Saw again.
Yes! Come on!
This time it was Vedekele. He got Vedekele's header. I don't know who it come off in the end. Deflected in. It might have been Williams. I've no idea who that came off last. But it over the outstretched hand of Ramsdale. But it was Vedekele's header. John McEwen up for the dropping ball, but it took a deflection off of somebody, and it's in the back of the net.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening, coming to you live from the Valley. Chris Solly's testimonial dinner is going on upstairs. Actually, I hope everyone's having a good evening at that, celebrating an absolute legend of the club. Very rare that you get to 10 years with one team now. And so pleased that Solly's made that record. And well-deserved testimonial dinner he's having here at the Valley this evening. I understand there's a fair few legends upstairs as well, so I hope they're all having a good evening there. So Lee Bowyer chatting away. It's not really much more, because it was one of the shortest interviews I've ever done with him, because you can't just point a microphone in someone's face and go, well, nothing much really happened, did it? But pleased to come away with a point. Obviously would have preferred all three, which on another day we would have got with the decisions, but you know, he's quite happy to send the lads now off on that well-earned break as well.
Yeah, and I think, like I said earlier, the break comes at the right time, doesn't it? And it'd be good for, you know, to try and get a couple of people back. I don't know how long Williams is going to be out for with his injury, but it'd be nice to just give the guys a bit of a rest. You know, we had some really, really impressive victory at Portsmouth, the grinding out the win Tuesday night, and difficult conditions yesterday. So hard-earned rest for the guys. A couple have been poorly, as we mentioned earlier, so be nice for them to have the break now, and hopefully we come back refreshed for Bradford, and then on to the business end of the season, see how we go.
Right, yeah, certainly. So I promised you a story. So you may have heard during the interview there, I sort of mentioned about Lyle Taylor's yellow card, because he did get booked yesterday, but luckily he'd passed the threshold for the that would have been his 10th yellow card of the season. He passed the threshold for that all to get wiped off. So if he had got his 10th yellow card against Burton on Tuesday, he would have been out for two games. So Burton, full-time whistle goes, everyone's delighted, brilliant, he's not going to get a suspension for two games. Now, anyone who pays attention to social media and follows Lyle Taylor on social media would have noticed on Thursday he put a slightly cryptic message about having a difficult day, something, you know, glad to have got through it, without any real context. And everyone's like, oh, what's that? I wonder if he's just, you know, had a poor day training, hasn't hit the target as much as he usually does, that sort of thing. We're all sort of wondering, but, you know, without anything really coming out, you're sort of not too worried about it, because, you know, footballers have difficult days at training. It happens. Maybe it was raining. Who knows? But so I was I heard the story secondhand, so I found out what the details were yesterday. And so whereas we were all delighted that he missed his two-game ban because of, after the Burton game, yellow card, threshold and all that, on Thursday, he got banned for 2 games by the powers that be. Now, the reason being is that the FA or the EFL, whoever is in charge of this, they look back at every single penalty decision that's made in the top four divisions. Someone has a look at a penalty being given, has a look at the video footage, just to see if they believe that any simulation has come into play there. Now, the powers that be looked at our penalty that we won, that Lyle Taylor won on Tuesday evening in the sixth minute against Burton Albion, and decided that he dived and contacted the club to tell him that he is banned for 2 games. So all of a sudden, everyone at the club is going spare. Like, oh my God. I mean, for starters, it's not a dive. They don't think it's a dive. And luckily, some bright spark said, rather than them just going off the footage, the TV camera footage, we've got another angle of it. And they contacted the cameraman with the correct angle, found the angle that showed that, I think it was Brayford for Burton Albion, had his hands on Lyle Taylor, and therefore it's not a dive. Sent it to the FA and they wiped it. So that's why Lyle Taylor, after all that relief of him not being banned for 2 games, he was banned for 2 games and he would have missed Bristol Rovers. So it's interesting. It's also fascinating that they were happy to make that decision without reviewing all the footage and actually going, oh no, we're wrong. So we could have wrongly lost our star player for 2 games there.
Well, it's just like they scrolled through the Sky Sports highlights on their phone and just picked out the ones the players that they didn't like. Imagine if that had stood. It would just been absolutely ridiculous, wouldn't it? But you wouldn't have written it off the way the officials and that we've had this season have treated us.
So I'm wondering now if I can send them my screenshot of the Josh Cullen offside goal.
They give us
the 3 points,
yeah.
What do you reckon?
No, they might see if they ring up on Thursday and say, look, sorry, you've won that game 1-0 actually. Sorry, we didn't find it on the day. Imagine.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. So yeah, bizarre story. Glad we've come out of the right side of it. A two-week break now. Lyle Taylor, he'll be going off with Montserrat, actually, won't he? So he won't get it. I was about to say he deserves his two-week break more than anyone, but he had his three-game break anyway already. But it will be off now, off with Montserrat. So I hope they have a good game. 6 players altogether have gone off on the international duty, including Chris Maxwell, the sub-goalkeeper, if you're counting him, which supposedly we should do. Because although we haven't actually yet to get to see him play. Right, let's have a listen. Look back at some of the tweets that have come in after yesterday's performance. Mark said, I don't think we can be unhappy with the away point all in all. Playoffs pretty much secured now. Absolutely the case. Automatic is just a dream now. On a side note, happy for Carlin Grant yesterday, although it didn't mean 3 points in the end. Yeah, I mean, we'll just pick up on Carlin Grant. 2 goals for Huddersfield Town away at the London Stadium of West Ham. The second one was an absolute peach. Well done to the lad. Still lost. I felt bad for him there. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people saw a lot of people on Twitter saying yesterday, why are people talking about Carlin Grant? And that's why I don't want to go on about it. But at the same time, you look at that and think, oh man, I miss him. I wish he was there yesterday just to score a wonderful goal and nothing.
No, oh, exactly. But it's just nice to see our youth prospects doing well. You know, that's like someone moaning when we get happy every time Joe Gomez gets picked for England or anything like that. We're very lucky. We have an incredible academy, and the people in the academy do an amazing job in producing good players. And Carlin falls in that bracket. I thought both of the goals, especially that second one yesterday, was absolutely class, wasn't it?
Yeah. And as Mark said, I mean, You just take the point and you move on, really. It's not one to get too down. When you're at the game, it's a frustrating afternoon because, the wind's making it difficult. Bristol Rovers were, a good team defensively. I should be pointing out as well that Bristol Rovers, before kickoff yesterday, and conceded 12 fewer goals than anyone else in the bottom half. They had the best defence in the bottom half by a country mile. They've conceded the same amount of goals all season that we have, 37, and we're fifth. Yeah, and they were, 17th or whatever before the game started. So it shows, I mean, we're not going to be the only team that's not going to be able to break them down. And obviously, I mean, we did anyway. We scored a legitimate goal that got turned down. So it's just one of those days that you just have to forget about it as soon as possible.
Exactly. And I think I saw a stat yesterday as well that we've scored the most goals from set pieces and Bristol Rovers have conceded the least goals from set pieces. So, yeah, like you say, interesting. And a bit kudos to them, really, is that they're down there and they've got that good of a defensive record.
The set piece stat, I think, also includes penalties. And also, we're obviously the team that's been awarded the most penalties this season. I think it's about 13 we've been awarded. Something crazy. We've only missed 2 or 3 as well. So we've had a lot of goals from penalties, which has helped. Right, Spenny says 7 points from 9 is a good return. And now it's a nice 2-week break. The boys will hopefully come back fresh for the running. Yeah, and like I say, if we'd lost our last two and we've gone to Bristol Rovers and only taken a point, then you'd understand there'd be a bit more frustration. But when you stick it into that tough week we've had of a Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, you know, and that's a good week for us. That's a week where we haven't come through with any suspensions, just about. We haven't come through with any major injuries. I think, obviously, Williams and Billick hopefully won't be too... Well, Billick obviously came back, but Williams, Bowyer's hoping, will come back after the international break as well. So you put that down as a good week, back on track after the, you know, the difficult time we had after Carlin left.
Yeah, exactly. We had that wobble, didn't we? And we've had the draw up at Doncaster, which was pretty an even affair as well, and the win at Portsmouth. I think we'd said all along we'd be happy with getting the 4 points out of those two games, and then a difficult game on Tuesday night against the Burton side, who I must say I'm surprised aren't in around the top six or nearer the top six. I was really impressed with them, and then a point away at Bristol Rovers as well. So we haven't lost. You know, we've got some players that are tired, probably running on empty. We've lost Johnny Williams. We lost Christian Bielik midweek as well. Luckily, he was back yesterday. Aribo was poorly on Tuesday night, so didn't have his greatest game and couldn't start yesterday. So the 2 week break now is an opportunity for those guys to get refreshed and come back fighting fit for the few remaining games.
Certainly right. 100% Charlton says resting players will just lose us momentum. Look, when we rested players at Rochdale last season going into the playoffs against Shrewsbury, we were well off the pace. We have a break now, then full steam with our strongest team for the remaining 8 games. So obviously, and we floated out there that Bowyer might be tempted to chop and change a little bit as the season goes on now. And in a way, you would be tempted because of that, you know, injuries, suspensions that you don't want to pick up. But as we said, I mean, it's a fine line between throwing away your momentum. I mean, that Rochdale game that 100% Charlton mentioned last season, I mean, I feel like I mentioned it recently as well. I mean, it was only one game, but we were pretty flat in it. We lost, and I mean, you could argue it took an edge off our performances against Shrewsbury. Who knows if it did or if it didn't.
Yeah, but I think also you have to look at the circumstances surrounding that game, that Rochdale needed to win it to stay in the division. The guy that scored the winner, Joe Thompson, had obviously come back from and made that cancer recovery, he's since retired, and it was a bit of like a written in the headlines, you know, dream ending to the season for another club. And I think it was the circumstances there are difficult, because the week before that we beat Blackburn, who hadn't lost in God knows how many, and who had gone up, needed it to go up automatically, and we managed to beat them at home. And yeah, the Rochdale game was a difficult one to judge it on, because yes, we did rest players, but they were playing their strongest 11. They needed to stay in the division, and they did so. But the Shrewsbury, we just didn't turn up for the Shrewsbury playoffs last year. That was just the bottom line.
Yeah, certainly. Right. Dylan Phillips, as we said earlier, made one of the saves of the season in yesterday's goalless draw with Bristol Rovers, keeping out a free kick from Johnson Clark-Harris sort of 10 minutes or so before half-time. Brilliant save. Kept it at 0-0, which is the way it stayed. We spoke to Dills after the game yesterday. He admitted as well that the elements did not make for the greatest of spectacles down in the West Country.
Yeah, horrible conditions, probably the worst for football to win. So, yeah, we knew it weren't going to be easy. We knew it weren't going to be easy with the weather conditions being fine or like they were. So, happy with a point. Disappointed that we lost, but 7 points in a week is a great week, and we're moving in the right direction.
It keeps the unbeaten run going, as you say. Had to play in front of a different setup, back three instead of a back four. Jason Pearce back.
No, yeah,
makes much difference.
Yeah, they're all good as gold, mate. They've all been really good for me and for the team. So, yeah, whoever plays in front of me, I'm happy with. And I think we've done well today defensively. Had a goal disallowed that might not have been on another day. And just one chance is all we needed, really. One clear-cut chance. They were putting bodies on the line. So were we. So probably a fair result in the end.
But for all our half chances and a disallowed goal, we still had to rely on yourself at the other end to keep them out. And that free kick save, if you want to talk us through that, because it's up there with the save of the season, I think.
I just sort of saw it late, either through the wall, over the wall, can't really remember, and lucky enough it just held up in the pitch and I managed to claw it from behind me. I was happy with it, so that's what I'm there to do at the end of the day.
Well, from our vantage point, we didn't see whether it went round or through, to be honest, either, but it looked, after it left his foot, like it was heading towards the left-hand corner. And so for you to get across there and claw it away, it looked quite spectacular from where we were, at least. Yeah. So I think it'd be one you'd want to look back on a telly.
Yeah, I'll have a watch and I'll let you know.
But he's got the fellow who took the free kick talk, scored a stunner in midweek. Did you have that in your mind when he stepped up for it?
All the bits they do, and see that goal that you scored against Gillingham, was it? Yeah. No, he's obviously a good player. He scored six in the last six league games, I think. So a threat for them, and we've kept them quiet today. So happy days.
A clean sheet. I mean, that helped to keep the clean sheet, which you must be delighted with, generally.
Yeah, another one for the team and for me personally, so I'm happy with that, yeah.
Top two probably looks out of reach. We've been saying it for a few weeks. But cementing a place in the playoffs, and we're going still unbeaten. Is it all about momentum?
Yeah, no, listen, anything can happen, can't it? What is it, 8 points?
Yeah.
8 points, anything can happen. We just run into the next game. Little break now, go into Bradford at home and hopefully take 3 points there at home where we're really good, and just see what happens. Yeah, it's out of our hands really. Just keep winning games, and if teams drop points, they drop points. So yeah, we'll just take some good form into the playoffs or get into that top two. Whatever happens, and we'll all be there and willing to fight for the team.
Dressing room okay in there? Yeah, it's not mate, getting the win, but you're looking forward to a little break before the next,
because we're used to winning games, but it wasn't to be today.
Well done on the side, especially.
Cheers, thank you very much, Tom.
Do you think the break has just come at the right time now, because you had a pretty gruelling week over the last 7 days?
Yeah, Saturday, Tuesday took its toll on a few of the boys. That's why I suppose the gaffer rotated things around. I think a well-earned break for all of them boys running around like they do for 90-plus minutes. I think everyone needs it, and we'll be ready and raring to go at Bradford.
Obviously, in the position that we're in now, with such a healthy gap down to seventh place, obviously from the outside people worry about their complacency stepping in, but I guess with Lee Bowyer in charge, that's never going to be the case.
Yeah, no, not with a squad we've got, with a competition for places and things like that. Everyone's fighting for their life to stay in the team or to get a chance every day in training, so there won't be no complacency.
From Solly, so Solly wins the ball and then stabs it forward. Grant's going to put Turner under pressure. Turner, an experienced defender,
goes down, but no way
a foul. And Grant's got away and burst into the penalty area, switched it across and oh, it's there. And Charlton has scored in front of the away fans. It was Grant up against Turner. Turner went down, claiming a free kick. It definitely wasn't. Grant burst into the penalty area, fired the ball across the six-yard box, and there was Lyle Taylor for his third league goal of the season to knock it in past Mark Oxley and the Addicts in a scrappy opening 12 minutes in the second half of taking the lead. Every time I move, every step that I take, everywhere I look, it's right in front of my face. Put in the shadows, we'll put on the brakes. Can't shake this voice that keeps calling my name every step that I take.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening, coming to you live from the Valley. We just heard there from Dylan Phillips, talking after yesterday's goalless draw over at Bristol Rovers. Quite pleased with you. So it's funny, like, when you're a fan and you really just want to just like say, oh, that's a brilliant save, you really just want to go on about it, keeper's just like, well, just doing my job really. That's what I'm there to do, and that's what Dylan was saying very much, but obviously pleased to keep it out. As we said, I mean, he wasn't giving up the top two just yet. 8 points to overturn. I mean, I mean you're never going to give it up to, it's mathematically impossible, I guess.
No, definitely not. And I think it's one of those where you can only do what's in front of you, can't you? You can only win the games in front of you, and what the other teams do is kind of irrelevant, really. I mean, we can't rely too much on Barnsley's form, because as you said earlier, their running is on paper quite easy, as is ours, I suppose. But those teams down there are going to be fighting for something too. So all we can do is win the games in front of us and see how we go. But I personally think it's probably just that little bit too far now. I think if we'd have won yesterday, maybe we could be sort of itching towards it. It'd only be 6 points, but I think as it stands with the run-ins and everything as well, I think it's probably just that little bit too out of reach.
Yeah, I mean, Barnsley have got to play Walsall up next. Coventry aren't doing too bad if they say seventh. Burton Albion very much mid-table. Fleetwood very much a mid-table team. Shrewsbury will be fighting for their lives. Plymouth, who are down a bottom, of course. Well, actually, they've gone up to 12. Actually, not too. They've had a bit of a recovery. Blackpool, who would be possibly trying to get in the playoffs, and then Bristol Rovers. So no one really in the top six for Barnsley left to face. So yeah, you'd argue they've got a fairly easy run. And like I say, even if they haven't, I mean, they are one of the better teams in the league. You know, we are as well, but they'll feel fairly confident. Right, I had a couple of decent messages come over on the Charlton Life Forum. Coops says, Louis, just want to say, ha-ha, Millwall. Huge respect for the fans that went to Bristol Rovers. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. Great show, by the way. Best wishes. That's Gary Cooper from Willis. Cheers, Gary. Yeah, I watched the Millwall Cup game earlier. Charlton, after this weekend, for at least one more year, do remain the only team in South London to have won the FA Cup. I don't know if Arsenal won it while they were a South London club, but I'm not really counting that. So yeah, that was a close shave, but in the end, Millwall went out today on penalties to Brighton and Hove Albion. So well done to the Seagulls, and well done to Watford yesterday, of course. Coop said it was well done to everyone who went down. I mean, was it horrible in that way? And so it's that last 15 minutes we were getting... The breeze or the wind was bringing in a bit of drizzle. It was worse after, cold. Wasn't it? But yeah,
it was cold. But I think it's not a pleasant ground really to watch football. Is it? It's pretty naff in terms of where you're housed.
It's a strange one.
I think you said earlier the time you went, you were sat behind the goal. It'll be a lot better. At least one, you'd have a roof, which is always a bonus. But when you're standing out in the, you know, in those winds and it obviously rained second half as well. It can't have been easy. But what a turnout again. You know, like you said there, the support away from home, fantastic. It sold out away end in a pretty naff weather, so fair play to everybody who came.
Ross Mann on the Charlton Life Forum says, I think that was probably our toughest game left in the schedule, considering our home form should be good enough to get us past Luton. Let's hope I haven't jinxed us. As optimistic as I want to be for the top two, I'm fairly certain it will be us versus Pompey in the semis and a final against Sunderland. I know we'd all love that. So yeah, I mean, obviously our home form has been very good, and we are still to play Luton Town here at home, who are absolutely flying in the league. Obviously dropped a couple of points against Gillingham yesterday, but they're in a situation themselves where they can afford to. So who have we got coming up? We've still got Wickham to play. That was going to be Saturday, but obviously isn't now. It's an international, but it's been rearranged. So we've got Bradford next up here at the Valley in a couple of weeks. Bradford are rock bottom, really struggling. Plymouth, who, as I said, have actually been a little bit resurgent recently. Luton, who are top of the league. Carl Robertson, Oxford United, who benefited from a very strange decision yesterday.
Yeah, bizarre, wasn't it?
Yeah, worth looking up that one. A late goal at Oxford. We still got to play Scunthorpe here at the Valley. Gillingham away is our last away game. And then Rochdale at home, who, of course, it may be too late for them by then, or they may again be trying to fight for their lives. So, I mean, our run-in, like we said, isn't the worst. Luton's still to come at home, but it's a huge ask. So if we are looking at those playoff places now, you're looking at the teams who are in and around. I think we had this conversation last week, but you weren't here, Lewis, so it'd be interesting to hear who you'd like. I mean, Sunderland, Portsmouth, Doncaster, Coventry, Peterborough, Blackpool, all within a chance of getting into those playoffs, as are, of course, you know, Barnsley could replace Sunderland in the top three, Portsmouth outside chance of getting in the top two themselves.
Yeah.
If you had to pick someone to play in the semi-final over two legs?
If it's based on who's in there at the moment, I think Pompey. I think we seem to always turn up against Portsmouth. But I agree with the guy that's messaging there. I think I can just see like a Sunderland-Charlton final. It just seems to be like written in the stars. But we'll have to see what happens. I mean, as we were saying there, with the running, I mean, after that Luton game, you got Oxford, Scunny, Gillingham and Rochdale, who are all in the bottom six, effectively, all going to be fighting for their lives. You know, Scunny having a pretty poor season themselves, and Oxford aren't doing great. So we'll have to see, I suppose. In terms of running on paper, it looks all right. I think Plymouth would be a tougher ask than I think we'll see from the outside. I think they're, like you say, a bit of a resurgent, a bit of a run from there. Bradford look pretty rubbish, don't they, at the moment, to be honest. And Wickham, a team that are probably mid-table, not a huge amount to play for. Luton, I'm confident, actually. I think we can get something against Luton here. I think, like last season, with that Blackburn game, with the goal that came off Pierce's backside, it could be one of those games where we're just lucky, like a little bit of luck, and that would be huge, like a huge boost going into those last games against a lesser opposition if we're going to make a real late push for the top two.
the importance of finishing fourth rather than fifth means that we would have the home leg second. Obviously, we finished sixth last year, so we played at home first, then the second leg was away. Do you think that's overly important? Do you think it gives you an advantage to be at home second? Because you look at it the other way. If we'd played really well at home last season against Shrewsbury and beaten 3-0 in the first leg, then that would have been a huge advantage given to us at the halfway stage.
So. Yeah, I think it can work either way, can't it, really? I mean, it's nice to know if you can go away from home first and maybe grind out a draw, and then you know that your home form could probably be enough to carry you over the line, then it's an advantage there. But like you say, we could have smashed Shrewsbury 3-0 at home and then gone on to their place. And what I mean, last season Shrewsbury beat us at home, and then when we went there we thrashed them, didn't we? We played really well up there. So I think it's just how you turn up on the day. I'm not a massive believer in the home and away leg, you know, where you finish situation. It's difficult to see it on paper what difference it really makes. I think we've got such good home form. I think we can play either way in our advantage, you know, try and get a decent lead going into an away leg if we come fifth, or if we do come fourth, then, you know, grind it out wherever we're playing, and then take it into the home leg. But sometimes it could probably work the other way. It's probably a bit, if you say we draw 0-0 at Fratton Park, for example, in that game, and then we go on and we think, oh, it's in our hands here, I fancy us at home, and then we just don't show up like we did against Shrewsbury, then what advantage do we have by having it that way around? I don't really see it, but.
Yeah, just how you turn up on the day then. Right, international break's coming up now. 2 weeks off for the Addicts. Obviously, that means we won't be here on Thursday evening because there's no match to give a big match preview for. We won't be here next Sunday because there'll be no match to talk about. So we'll have a couple of weeks break. Important rest for the players now, the ones who aren't going away on international duty, just to recuperate. Like we say, we've had that illness that was in the squad a couple of weeks ago that obviously Joe Rebo still had up until quite recently, the heavy legs that we saw against Burton. It's just come at the right time, a good time for the players to unwind ahead of what is a big run in for the club.
Yeah, definitely, and it's going to be important. A team that, you know, as a club we struggle massively with injury, and having a fully fit side is something that we rarely see here at Charlton. So hopefully the break now coming at this time gives us a little bit of a boost going into sort of the remaining six or seven games.
What you got planned? Are you going on holiday?
Don't know. It's always weird, isn't it? When there's no game, you do find yourself a little bit lost. But all these away days that I've dragged myself to over the last month, and with Plymouth coming up with Tom and Nate, I'm sure I'm going to need the rest myself before I go down south with those two. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, it's my mate's birthday next week, so we're going to a pizza making party at Pizza Express for adults, which is going to be like a child going to Pizza Hut.
But the last time I did that, I was in year three.
So that break's come at the right time for me. Right, this has been a shorter episode of Charlton Live. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's just a test run, really, to see how it works, because most people listen to the show via podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and none of them are more than an hour. So I'm just trying to see if we could fit a whole show into a Sunday. Let us know if you find this a better length or not. Any feedback, really. Obviously, we haven't really had many emails tonight because nothing interesting has happened. So that's made it a little bit easier to squeeze everything. If we'd had a 5-all draw yesterday, I don't think we would have been able to do an hour show. So I'm interested in your feedback. If there's anything you would have changed, let us know. If you feel like it is too short, let us know as well. But it was a test run, and I hope you've enjoyed the show nonetheless. It's been an interesting couple of days with the most boring game we've seen in a while. But I'm glad we got through it. International break now, so we're going to have a couple of weeks off. Lewis, thanks for coming in this evening.
No worries, mate. See you in a few weeks.
Yeah, I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. We'll be back then in a couple of weeks' time after the international break with a big match preview ahead of the home game against Bradford, which will come up on Thursday week. Thanks for listening, and we shall see you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.